pastors in Riviera Beach, considers me as pastor and this church his mother church. And it's certainly been a blessing to us, and this church has been a blessing to them. God has brought them through a great tragedy recently, as we know. You look at him, you'll never know he was ever in an accident. Well, he was shot, actually, in the forehead a few months ago, and God miraculously spared him. The doctors felt like he was going to lose vision in one eye. He has perfect vision. Amen. Praise the Lord. And, of course, they were afraid of brain damage and all kinds of things. Absolutely, completely, totally, 100% restored. What a mighty God we serve. They're going to be having their fourth anniversary, not this coming Friday, but the following Friday, or Thursday and Friday at 7 o'clock at their building, their church. And the directions will be in the bulletin this coming Sunday. And then on Sunday at 3 o'clock, normally I would be preaching this anniversary, but I already have a previous ministerial engagement that I have to be with, so I will not be able to minister at 3 p.m. on Sunday, but Brother Simon will be ministering. And I'll tell you, he is an incredible preacher, a great pastor, leader with his people, and they are just having a wonderful, wonderful revival. So if you can go and be a support on Friday and Thursday and Friday, not this one coming, but the following, and then at 3 o'clock, after we have a lot of fun around here in Jesus, you can go have some more over there in the Holy Ghost. And I know it'll be a great blessing to him and the church. Matthew chapter 16 and verse number 18, Jesus, well, the word of the Lord says in the book of Matthew, "And I say unto thee, thou art Peter, and upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it. And upon this rock I will build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail against it." Tell your neighbor, I thank God for the church. Tell someone else, I thank God for the church. Hallelujah. I walked by Bob just a couple of moments ago and weeping and laughing at the same time. Only an apostolic can do that. Laughing and crying at the same time, and just walked by him and gave him a hug and so this is great, isn't it? And he's so, oh my God, oh my God. God filled him with the Holy Ghost just last week or the week before, just recently. My times don't mean anything to me. But recently, yeah. Don't mean a whole lot to God either. However, filled him with the Holy Ghost, baptized in Jesus' name, and he is just drinking it in. Every move of the Spirit, every touch of God. Somebody say, thank God for the church. Some of y'all so used to drinking the Holy Ghost, you don't even get drunk anymore. You're just immune. We got to break out the Holy Ghost 200. Pure stuff. to get you drunk. But a newborn babe, he's just on 5.7. Drunk in the Spirit. Thank God for the church. I want to tell you, the church is powerful. The church cannot be conquered. The church cannot be defeated. You better be glad you're a part of the church. The church is not going down. Listen, the church is stronger today than it's ever been. Oh, hallelujah. Praise God. The church is not weak. The church isn't going under. The church isn't backsliding. The church isn't carnal. I want to tell you, there's nothing like the church. It's never been this powerful. It's never been this strong. We've never had revival like we're having right now. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Brother Brother Lum and I was talking just for a few minutes earlier today. I know you're standing. You'll be seeing in just a second. Talking just a little earlier today, and he said, Brother Pastor, I've been keeping track. We've had in the last, was it 3 or 4 years, Brother Lum, where you at? In the last 3 years, we've had over 800 people receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Oh, come on, let's do better than that. Let's give God praise. Give Him praise. Hallelujah. Somebody shout revival. Lord, bless your message tonight and the people. And everybody say amen. You can be seated. I was encouraged Sunday. Brother Luma got up and he began to teach. God had moved upon me just a few weeks ago, seeking Him in prayer and fasting, trying to get the mind of God for 2015. Lord, what direction are you moving the church this coming year? We know in the last few years, the Lord has taken us down a path. 2013, we had a year, the theme for that year was in intimacy in the Lord. And we found about being intimate in the Word and intimate in prayer and just on and on and on. And then we learned the following year, 2013, we learned that when you become intimate with the Lord, you receive power in God. And we had a year of power in the Lord, power in the Holy Ghost. And then last year, 2014, the Lord moved us into works. You get intimate with God. He gives you power. He expects you to go to work. Can you say amen? Look at your neighbor and say, God expects you to work. Listen, God pays you well. If you don't believe me, take a deep breath. Just take one deep breath right now. God pays you well. I know we all want to go to heaven, but we love living, don't we? God takes care of us and intimate and power and works. And so the Lord spoke into my heart. And I began to prepare that 2013, we are going to learn about the purpose of the church in the world. The reason God put this incredible institution in the world. And Brother Luma got up Sunday morning. We had not communicated. I hadn't communicated to anyone about this except for my associate, Brother Sapp. And then just by passing, because I was still trying to put the ingredients together, still am, will throughout the year. But and he got up and began to teach, and I was in the little green room, and I heard him say, I want to talk to us today about purpose. And I said, God, you are so awesome. There's only one Spirit. Everybody say one Spirit. And when you get in the flow of the Holy Ghost, He will reveal to you His move. He'll reveal to you what it is He's wanting to do, the direction that He's going. Hallelujah. Somebody say purpose. Say, I have a purpose. Say, the church has a purpose. So I hope that we're going to just kind of barely scratch the surface on this here tonight. But if the Lord will help us in the weeks to come and over the months, we will learn about the different purposes of the church and what God desires for the church to do. And I'll launch out here tonight and just say right up front that it is very important to our Father that we fulfill the purpose. And if you don't believe that, and I know you do, but it might help to encourage you to read some of the parables in Matthew and Luke and in Mark, where the Bible talks continuously how that the master of the vineyard or the different examples there that he'll use, that he left everything, what? He left it in the control. He left it in the responsibility of the caretakers. That's the church of the vineyard. And when he came back, those who did well, he blessed. Those that did not, the Bible says he cut off and cast them out into outer darkness. And he said, you are an unprofitable servant. That's what he called them. You are an unprofitable servant. I left you everything. I left you my power. I left you my name. I left you my wealth. I left you. You were in control of everything that I had, and I expected you to take it and do well. And so these are parables concerning the church. And God is concerned that we, the church, do well with what he left us. He didn't just give us the Holy Ghost to enjoy it. He didn't just give us the Holy Ghost to dance and talk in tongues and feel good. And I'm glad all that comes with it. Is there an apostolic in the house? I'm glad all that comes with it. But to whom much is given, much is required, the Word of God says. And there is a responsibility. In fact, Acts tells us in Acts 1 and 8, he said that when you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, you are going to be my. That's right. Everybody shout witness. I need some more Bible studiers around here. When you receive the power of the Holy Ghost, it's because you're going to be my witness. In other words, I'm not just giving this to you to enjoy. There's something I expect you to do with it. There is a responsibility. There is a purpose of the Holy Ghost. But he didn't only give us the Holy Ghost. There's so many other things that he gave to us as the church. He gave us his name. He gave us his power, his authority. Through his stripes, he put healings in the body of the church. He gave us ministries, apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers and evangelists to do to edify the church, to reach the lost that is in the world. I guess what I'm trying to say in the very beginning, the introduction, the prelogue of this this message, that and what God wants to do this year is to somehow get across to us that the church has a purpose in the world. We need to learn what that purpose is. We need to learn what it is. I tell you, I don't even know if I even get to note number one here tonight, but I'm going to tell you, there's going to be a lot of surprised people on Judgment Day. And I hope that there's just a few of them at Tabernacle of Pentecost. I hope there isn't any. But it'd be nice to know there's just a few. Be nice to know that pastor and the ministry of this church taught us well enough that we understood the purpose of the church. So it's going to be a lot of surprised people. But God, I cast out devils in your name. But God, I healed the sick in your name. Depart from me, you workers of iniquity. I never knew you. I know we preach on that, dealing with the name of baptism, baptism in Jesus' name. But it's more than that. It's, did you fulfill the purpose of the church? Church. Matthew put it this way, Jesus speaking to his saying at judgment, he said, I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't visit me. I was in prison and you didn't come unto me. Lord, when were you these things and we didn't do these things? He said, when it was the least of these that you didn't do it unto. What is he talking about? He's saying there is a purpose for the church. And as the church, we have to learn what that purpose is. We have to look into the Word of God. And then we have to even fine-tune it down a little further than that. What is my purpose within the church? All of us should be active doing something that fulfills the divine will and purpose of the church somewhere, somehow, some way. We have to shake our way out of the belief that we get filled with the Holy Ghost. We walk out the door. We go back to our normal worldly activities and we work through the week. And then we come back to the house of God on Sunday and we worship again, and then we go back out and we go back to our worldly activities. Somewheres we got to shake ourselves with understanding that the church has a purpose. that as a body of Christ and as a part of the church, when I walk out them doors, I have a purpose to fulfill. There's something that God will help me do, encourage me to do, and strengthen me to do, to go forward and fulfill this purpose. And when the church rises up and begins to fulfill the purpose that God has called us to do, we will be as the apostles of the first century. We will turn our world upside down. We ask ourselves a question. The first question is then, you know, this church that has a purpose, this church that God put into the world. What is the church? What is exactly, what is the institution of the church? What is the what is its makeup? How do you define the church? And the word of the Lord tells us in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse number 23, for the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. Now, if you're the head of something, that means you have a neck. That is true. Which is a part of the body. That's the word I was looking for. Actually, that was good, brother. You've obviously been married before, so you understand the neck head situation there. All right. No, he is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. And he is talking about the church, what the church is. Colossians 1 and 18. And he is the head of the body, the church. The head of the body, the church. Who is the beginning of the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Colossians 1 and 24. Who now rejoice in my sufferings for you and fill up that which is behind of the afflictions of Christ in my flesh for his body's sake. What? Which is the church. The church is the body of Christ. It is the body of our God. Let's read a few more, and we're going to talk about this just a little bit. 1 Corinthians 12 and 27. Now ye are the body of Christ. Who is he speaking to? He is speaking to the church of Corinth. He is speaking to me as an individual, and he is speaking to you as an individual, and he is speaking to the church as a whole. Now ye are the body of Christ and members in particular. And so he is talking here, addressing the church as a whole, but then he narrows it down. Look at your neighbor and say, I am a member. Say, in particular. What that means is that you have a purpose. There is something that you do in the body that nobody else does. That is probably one of the greatest revelations that you can ever receive. Nobody can replace you. Somebody might have to do your job, but it doesn't mean they can replace you. And the only reason why they have to do your job is because you're not doing your job. There is the body of Christ, and the body of Christ has members in particular. 1 Corinthians 12 and 28. And God has set some in the church, apostles and prophets and leaders, and then that of miracles, and then gifts and healings and helps and governments and diversities of tongues. My visions, my words are small. Really small. They're like really tiny. No, I think it's a font 18 or something like that. So we look at this and he says the body of Christ. And then he says members in particular. And then he starts out with the head honchos, the apostles. And then there's the prophets. And then there's teachers, and then there is miracles or workers, others, verses let us know, workers of miracles, or those who are used in miracles, and those who are used in the gifts of healings. And then that word helps, which probably describes the majority of the body. One of the worst statistics that could ever enter into our ears is that of the church, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. We don't want it to be that way. Tell your neighbor, you've got something to do. If you're not an apostle, if you're not a prophet, if you're not a teacher, if you're not a worker of miracles, if you're not a worker of the gifts of healings, surely you can find yourself in the gifts of helps, in the gifts of government, in the diversities of tongues, or however God is going to use you. There is a place. I wish every member of Tabernacle of Pentecost could come to the revelation. I'm not just a saint sitting on a chair somewhere. I have a purpose in the body of Christ. I want to tell you, nothing will give a person more drive than when he realizes he has a purpose. He's got something to do. He's got a calling. And when we can get that understanding that God leans on us and he trusts in us. Robert, when God gave you his spirit, he put trust in you. He knew before you were ever born where he was going to use you, how he was going to use you. Now you and your lovely wife teaching Bible studies, helping ground people in the house of God. Is he an apostle? No, neither am I. Is he a prophet? No, neither am I. But is he of government? Yes. Is he of helps? Yes. And so am I. And so are you. The greatest damage to the church is that the majority of us are not working. Can you imagine owning a business and showing up at work and 80% of your crew are sitting around? What's up, boss? Boy, don't you have a job? Ha, Bob's going to do it. Come here, Bob. Come here, Bob. No, you need your manual, bro. That's your manual. Come here, Bob. Poor Bob. All the things Bob's supposed to do right now in the church is just share his testimony and help bring people in. I don't know. God might have something else. That's just where I'm starting at. But Jim, he just wants to sit around and eat donuts. Jim just wants to sit around and eat donuts. And Sister Kyle, she just wants to lay there and enjoy her hot tea. And Brother Luma, he's just sitting over there and eating a hot tamale and a Jamaican patty. And boss comes in, and poor, here's old Bob. He's all excited. But y'all don't want to hurt your manual. Let's put the manual down. He's all excited. The pressure gets high over here, so he comes over here, and he's got to adjust it here because Brother Luma's not doing his job. He's got to come over here and adjust it because Sister Kyle's not doing her job. He's got to run over here and adjust it because Jim's not doing his job. If everybody would go to work. You say, well, Brother Kyle, I don't know what my job is. Let me tell you how to find out your job. Just get busy doing anything. And when the boss sees you messing where you don't need to be, he'll take you where you need to be. He'll be like, he'll say, Sister Trahan, you're not supposed to be over here carrying the 150-pound bags of sand. Dear Lord, I didn't make you for that. trying to teach you the diversity of the body. God didn't make her to carry a 150-pound bag of concrete. Come here, Sean. He made Sean for that. He made Sister Trahan. He taught her how to sew uniforms. So when Sean tore his uniform on the 150-pound cement bag, she could sew it up. Now, Sean sits down and bees lady, lazy, she's got to do his job. She can't do his job. So what's going to happen? The cement's not going to get loaded. Everything shuts down. Everything goes chaotic. And the few that are working are just trying to make amends everywhere. So just to have some kind of decent service. Tabernacle of Pentecost, let's go to work. You can sit down, Bob. I know you're tired. We all have a purpose. He said that the body or the church is the body of Christ. But in particular, there are members. And all of them have their purpose. And my prayer and my hope, my dream and my vision is that somehow Tabernacle of Pentecost would actually go to work. Nobody here needs to carry all of the load. You only have to carry your load. And that might be a prayer warrior. And you say, oh, she's got it easy. All she has to do is sit in a dark corner and travail. Have you ever tried travailing for an hour and a half? Have you ever poured your guts out for 2 hours? I want to tell you what, when you get up from that corner, you feel like just someone been cutting grass for 8 hours. None of our jobs are easy if we do it right. But God will give us the strength. Okay, let's carry on. Verse number 29. And then he goes on to say, are all apostles, and we touched on this already, are all prophets, are all teachers, are all workers of miracles, have all the gifts of healings, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret, cover the best gifts and more excellent way. Or is everybody everything? No. And we'll get into governments later, but God puts all of us in places. Not everybody can be the CEO. But I'm going to tell you, the CEO is worthless without helpers. And a good CEO will appreciate his helpers and love them and care for them and do good to them because he understands nothing matters if his helpers aren't healthy, if his helpers aren't busy. Now, we're the body. Tell somebody, I'm the body. And we'll deal with that more later. There's so much more to be taught about that. But I'm just doing a tiny summary here tonight. We're the body of Christ. And because of that, Ephesians 4 and 16, if we can get the revelation and understand that we are the body of Christ, I got to find someone kind of weaker. They might hurt me. Hey, sis, do it. Precious, precious little lady. Grab my little finger. Pull. Pull hard. Keep pulling. Pull. See, if I got Jim done this, he'd have ripped it off. Pull it again. Pull hard, hard. Oh. Why will that not come off? Because Ephesians says it is fitly joined together. Talking about the body. He said, you're joined together. So I wish we would stop trying to pull this thing apart. Stop pulling on your brother. You're disturbing them. They're trying to get their job done. Stop pulling on your sister. Stop tug-of-warring on the body. You're not going to pull it apart. You're not going to pull them out. No man shall pluck me out of the Father's hand. You cannot pull on me hard enough to get me out of the hand of my Father. My Lord, I wish we would get a hold of this, because I tell you, I am so much in the Holy Ghost right now. And this is a great church. Actually, we flow very well. We have great unity, most of you have stopped backbiting and cutting one another's throat and trying to get ahead and talking about one another and all the ugly, mean things that go on in life. Most of you have quit. However, for the few that have not, Satan keeps us busy, angry at one another, envious of one another, jealous of one another, being hurt by one another, because as long as we're occupied on all of that, we are not doing our purpose in the kingdom of God. He's a smart guy. He understands the diversity of the church more than we do. He understands the purpose, not only of the body as a whole, but the purpose of members in particular greater than we do. He is a professional at throwing, what's that saying, a wrench into the mechanism. Anyway, however you say it in your part of the world, it all means the same. Ephesians 4 and 16. We are fitly joined together. The flip side of that. This is, okay, so now I understand I need to quit trying to pull things apart. Quit pulling against my brother or my sister. The flip side of that is, if I do ever manage to pull this off, do you think I'm just hurting the finger? Or do you think I have affected the entire body, including myself? I cannot hurt you without hurting me. Come on, clap a little more on that. That's a little weak. Tell your neighbor, I cannot hurt you without hurting me. We are fitly joined together. That means whatever affects my brother affects me. Whatever affects my sister affects me. No, one of the Bible says, weep with those weep. And laugh with those that laugh. Rejoice with them that rejoice. Listen, you can't help but do it. When you're truly entwined in a part of this body the way that we're supposed to be, and you have that revelation and that understanding that you are fitly joined together, then you have the revelation, if my brother's blessed, I'm blessed. You can't bless the left hand without blessing the right hand. They're of the same body. If the hand gets to hold the spoon that goes into the gumbo, the whole body gets excited. Because it's all fitly joined together. And the human body has enough sense to understand that every part of this body has a function. And when one little bitty thing goes wrong, everything gets out of whack. You wouldn't think that little old pancreas in there would bother you. It's just a tiny old thing in the back. But you let it get out of whack, and it'll disrupt every system that is in your body. You wouldn't think that little, what do they call that? Platinary. Yeah, that thing up there in the brain, you wouldn't think it could mess with anything. It's just about the size of a BB, but you let something go wrong with that little guy, and the entire brain gets out of whack. I want to tell you, we are the body of Christ. We are fitly joined together. We cannot hurt one without hurting the other. But when I love one brother, I love the body. When I love one sister, I love the body. When I help one, I help all. We're the body of Christ, and because of that, and we'll deal with this more later, we are fitly joined together. Ephesians 1 and 22 tells us, because we are the body of Christ, all things are subjected unto us, just like all things were subjected unto him. When you become, you get the revelation and understanding of who and what you are in the body of Christ, then you become like that centurion ruler who said to Jesus, you don't need to come under my roof to heal my daughter. He said, all you got to do is speak the word. He said, I am a man under authority just like you. And when I say to my servant, go, he goes. And when I say, come, he comes. Now, here's the revelation of that. The centurion was not glorifying himself. He was glorifying the authority over him. Because the servant went and the servant came, not because of him. He listened to his words. I am a man under authority, just like you, Jesus. I know you're in human form, but I have a revelation that there's a power in you greater than the flesh, that you are subjected to. Therefore, when you say, Lazarus, come forth, it's not the body calling it out of the grave. It's the greater one calling him out of the grave. So the revelation is that I have power and authority because I am under authority. And that slave, that servant does not, he does not fear me. He fears my master. And he knows that when I say go, he better go. And when I say come, he better come. Because of my master. And Paul says right here, he tells us in Ephesians 1 and 22 and 23, that all things, because we are in the body, all things are subjected unto us. What is Paul saying? We are submitted to a greater authority. And because we are a part of the body of Christ, when the hand reaches out, the head is in control. When the mouth opens, the head, Christ, is in control. What is Paul really saying? He's saying, when I cast out demons, it's not me doing it, it's the head doing it. When I lay hands and the sick is healed, it's not the body doing it, it's the higher authority. And when we understand we are a part of the body of Christ, I'm telling us here today, there's no devil in hell that can stand against us. Simon Peter, I will build my church on this rock, and the gates of hell shall not prevail. Oh, hallelujah, hallelujah. I want to find my place in the body. I want to have purpose in the body. I want to go to work in the body. Oh, let's worship the Lord. Let's worship the Lord. Just a couple more small things. All things are subjected unto us. The church, like Jesus Christ, was the physical representation of the Father. When you have seen me, you have seen the Father. He said, how can you ask? Well, the Father. I am the Father. Now, apostolics, we are definitely walking uphill on this. Because we are dealing with a church, talking about the church, worldly church, or church in general. In the world, we are dealing with what the world views as the church. And those who have forsaken his power and forsaken his way and all of the above, and they view that then as the body of Christ, which means the heart of God.
and the soul and the strength of God and who and what God is. If there's ever been an hour and if there's ever been a time when the true church needs to stand up and show a world that is lost what Jesus really looks like. And I am not talking about our outward clothing. There's all kinds of weirdos in the world. Our standards are good. And you know Pastor preaches that. You understand that. I preach it hard. I preach it strong. I think it's necessary to be separate. I preach all of that. And we'll preach it again sometimes this year and all that good stuff and everything will happen. But I'm going to tell you, that's not who they're going to perceive as Christ. If we want them to truly see the body of Christ, then we are going to have to fulfill Matthew when he is talking to that group of people and saying, I was in prison, you visited me not. I was hungry and you didn't feed me. I was naked and you didn't clothe me. I was sick and you didn't visit me. His body reaches out to the hurting. His body reaches out to the needy. No wonder Jesus went through so much trouble to teach that if you really love, you give expecting nothing in return. You loan expecting no usury to come back to you. You give a cloak not expecting a cloak back of equal or better value. No. You give expecting nothing in return. You're just blessing whoever God leads you in the direction to bless and to help and to take care of. Okay, we'll deal with more of that later. Number four, and I'm going to bring this to a close. We possess a diversity of gifts that are suited to these particular functions. There is a reason why there is only one Sister Peterman. There's only one of you. Everybody say amen. There's only one of you. And God has, Sister Peterman, I'm going to ask the question I should not ask. How old are you? 75 years old. And you don't even have all your health. Your eyesight's not where it needs to be. I know you can't hear because you never do anything your husband says. Just kidding. Now, hold on. So we would say, well, let's put her on a shelf. God bless Sister Peterman. God says, are you crazy? I've got a great purpose for her. A great purpose. It doesn't matter how elder you may be. There's ways God can use you. We got to get this mess out of our head that if we're not raising the dead or opening up blinded eyes or preaching from a pulpit or prophesying or being an apostle or that we're not being used of God. Listen, there are very few of those ministries. The majority of all ministries are in helps. And he told that other crowd, they said, Lord, when did we feed you? When did we help you? When did we visit you? When did we do these things? He said, when you done it unto the least of these. I'm telling you, it doesn't matter who you are, Sister Byfield, and all the pain that is in your body. And I think you're like 39 or 40 years old, something real close to that. And all that pain that is in your body, God has a purpose for these pillars of the church. I was just talking, and I'm not doing this to get another one, Sister Byfield. I was talking to my wife just a few days ago, and we was talking about Sister Byfield. And I said, man, I remember when her shoulders wasn't hurting. She used to cook it. What day was that on? Mother's Day. I always look forward to Mother's Day, even though it was supposed to be celebrating my wife. Because I got this lobster dinner from Sister Byfield with all the trimmings. And she'd been, I'm not asking you to go home and do that. You know that, Sister Byfield. However, medium rare on the steak would be nice. But that blessed us. We look forward to that. Listen, there's nothing too small in the kingdom of God. What do you say we start paying attention to our neighbors? Start paying attention to where we go and what we do. Wait on God and listen to the Lord and see what He'll have us to do, no matter how small it is. Come on. Let's become the church. Let's become the church. That's really what I'm talking about. Let's become the church. Let's stand. What is the church? It's a group of ordinary, common people filled with the power and the love of God, going out and reaching and touching ordinary, common people. That's what He wants from His body. We got so many things we're going to learn about, so many things we're going to look into the Word about the purpose of the body. And I'm here to tell us, I'm here to say to each and every one of us that the only way that the church is going to be able to fulfill its destiny in this county is if all of us get involved. I want you to close your eyes for a second. Just close your eyes. And I want you to say to yourself, I have a purpose. Say it again. I have a purpose. Say, I am the body of Christ. I have a purpose. I have a purpose. I have a purpose. You know, the Lord hasn't revealed it to me, but I'm just, it is, if we could somehow look into the spirit realm of things, it would blow our minds of the gifts that are dancing around every single one of us. And the purpose that God has put in us and what he can do with us. Listen, it's time we stop making the Rebeccas, Sister Trahans, carry the 150-pound bags of concrete. We have to stop that. And we have to go to work. You know, they came to Paul the Apostle, using this as an example. I'm not trying to refer to me in this, but they came to Paul the Apostle and they said, hey, we got some widows and we got needs and things we need to do. Paul said, whoa, wait a minute. This is what he really said. I can't leave my gifting and go take care of that gifting. Because if I leave my gifting, then that's not going to get done. He said, I tell you what you do. You go find, was it seven? I think it was seven. You go find seven men full of the Holy Ghost and tell them to go open blind eyes. No. He said, you go find seven men full of the Holy Ghost and tell them to go raise the dead. He said, you go find seven men full of the Holy Ghost and you go tell them to take care of that little old lady. And to fix that table. And to go to the grocery store and bring her groceries back. And to make sure that whatever the needs are, that's what he said. You listen, we all need to be full of the Holy Ghost. But do you think God, so this is what I'm trying to say here, and I'm closing. God was not minimizing the need. Man might minimize it and say, well, we're just going over here and take care of the widows. I want to be the apostle. We look at it that way, right? We're cursed with that. But God didn't. He spoke through Paul the apostle and he said, go find seven men full of the Holy Ghost. He said, I want them on just as on fire of God as the apostle is. I want them just as full of the Holy Ghost as the pastor is. I want them just as full of my spirit as the elders or whoever. God wasn't minimizing the task. He said, if this task is going to be done right, it's going to take as much wisdom as I give to the apostle. It's going to take as much Holy Ghost as I, and probably more. Have you ever tried to take care of little old ladies? I did for about 5 years. My mama, and I won't tell you, that little old lady was a handful. And she wouldn't let nobody take care of her but me. My wife would come in to the room to visit her and say, "Hey, mama."
"Hey, Elizabeth.
You want me to lotion your feet? Where's Dan?" "Well, he's at a hospital visit. Can I lotion your feet?" "No." "Can I read to you?" "No." "What'd you say Dan was?" He's busy. He doing..." "No, I'll wait till tomorrow." "Okay, Mom, I'm telling you, it's the truth." Little old ladies can be tough. So God said, "You better make sure they're full of the Holy Ghost." Don't minimize any work in God. Don't minimize a task in the kingdom. Don't minimize anything that's being done. They're all important to God. And God wants everybody that touches any part of His kingdom or His body or reaching out. He wants them full of the Holy Ghost. You know, I'm done. Say 30. My wife bought me a wonderful, wonderful, wonderful gift for Christmas. It's a little dilly that goes over my barbecue pit, and I can cook for her. And when it rains, I don't get wet. So it was really, really nice of her. And they put that thing together. So they set it up, and I got to looking at it. I said, "You know what? I think I like..." I'm like a woman, you know. "I think I like it 2 feet to the left. Nah, a couple feet back to the right. No, I wanted to move it. I wanted to move it." So I go over there and I get an end of it and I go to lift it and I could not budge it. Like, what is this thing weigh? And my wife says, "I think the box said 400 pounds. I said, "Well, I should be able to pick it up. I don't understand." Couldn't move it. So I waited. I waited for a few guys, you know, these guys that pump all these weights and have all these muscles and do absolutely nothing with them. So they all came over to the house and we all got on a corner in the middle. I kept saying, "Guys, this is heavy. Guys, this is heavy. Guys, this is heavy. I'm telling you, this is heavy. It's heavy." And we lifted that thing and I'm like, "I don't think I'm even carrying." I even let go to see and I grabbed backward because I didn't want them to know. I said, "I don't think I'm even carrying any weight." We just walked that thing right on there where I want it. We put it down. It was the easiest thing in the world. And the only difference was everybody got involved.
That's it.
So the reason why we're struggling and the reason why it's difficult and the reason why it's painful and all is because we have too few trying to lift the load. All right, I'm closing. Every eye close. Every eye close. I'm asking you to talk to yourself right now and say, "Self, you got to go to work. You got to quit sitting around. It's always tomorrow, 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 next year, next year, next year, next year, next year, next year. Where did time go? And I still haven't saved a soul. I still haven't reached one person. I still haven't." And I'm not trying to bring condemnation. I'm just trying to talk to our hearts. I just want you to let the Holy Ghost speak. I'm telling you, everybody in this building has the potential to reach the lost. There's no one here in some form or fashion, whatever area, whatever way, God can use you in some way to reach the lost. I've got to go to work. work. I got to go to work. I can't just come to church and go home. Come to church and go home. Somehow I've got to find a way that when I leave this assembly, I got to understand that that's where the work really begins. That's when the church goes to work. I've got to go to work. I've got to go to work. Because the master's coming back. And his word says that if he finds me and I'm slothful, he finds me and I'm slothful and I'm not doing anything, he finds me and I've buried the talent and I did not make anything, and he finds me and I did not increase. And he,
Lord, I pray that you help us tonight. I ask that you touch every one of us this evening. Minister to us, God, in your spirit, and just help us, God. Help us to get a hold of this revelation of the purpose of the church in the world and what it has been set here to do, what it has been given here to do. And God, that we are particular members therein, this great body of Christ, and we have a place and we have a purpose and we need to go to work and we need to do things. And Lord, it's what you are wanting out of the church. It's what you're wanting out of the church. God, help us, Lord. Father, help us to understand there's a reason the church is here. There's something we're supposed to be doing. There's a purpose. There's a drive. There's something you told us to do, God. Father, help us to do it. Help us to do it, God. Help us to do it, Lord. Help us to do it, Lord. In Jesus' name, in Jesus' name. Amen. So your homework is to talk to the Lord about helping you to become purposeful in the kingdom. And hear the Holy Ghost. There is not one of us in this building tonight that God doesn't have a purpose for. And I didn't get on this tonight, but I'll just tell you, I shared it with my wife reading this. We was up reading this morning. What book did we read this morning, baby? Hey, guy. Joe, oh, I was talking to Brother Loom about it too. Thank you, Brother Loom. And I was the one, I was the one that read it. Anyway, okay. Book of Joel. And I'm reading in there, and it's talking about the canker worm took this, and the pommel worm, and on and all, it names everything, right? When you get down to verse 12 of chapter 2, the book of Joel, and Jesus says, all of this happened because you lost your joy in the Lord. All of that happened to Israel because you lost your joy in the Lord. Well, how do I get joy? It's so easy. It's so easy. The joy of the Lord is my... Anybody want to know? So it's not my joy, it's the Lord's joy I'm looking for. Because my joy is fickle, but his is stable. What makes God happy? All of heaven, when? You want the joy of the Lord on you? Lead one person to repentance. You will never be happier in all of your life when you lead one family, one person. It's just a step to God. You know, but not even all the way. Just a step to God will bring joy and peace into your heart. You know why? You are fulfilling the purpose of the church. Jesus was ascending. His very last words to the church was what? Go ye into all the world. Teach and baptize. Or baptize and teach. That's what he said. That's what he wants us to do. God bless you. You're the greatest people in the world. I love you in Jesus' name.
Look at your neighbor. One more thing. Look at your neighbor and say, please stop pulling on my pinky. Let's quit pulling. Love you, sister. Let's quit pulling on one another. Let's help one another. You're dismissed. Let's strengthen one another. Bless one another. Pray for one another. Be there for one another. Comfort one another. Hallelujah.